I really need to speak to you for a few hours, and I know that we have until 10:15 till Maariv. And there are many, many things that are on my heart. I'm not giving any kind of a shiur or a lecture. I stopped lecturing many, many years ago, except to my children. But I stopped lecturing. I want to share with you something. I know that many of you have heard of the Beis Yaakov from Ishbitz, Rabbi Yankel Ishbitz. He was the son of the Me'a Shiloach, Chesusa Genalein. So one of the chassidim of the Ishbitz, Rabbi Yankel Ishbitz, said that if you could think of one thing in his life that he held on to, that kept him a Jew, despite all of what he went through, it was something that took place by the Beis Yaakov Shir. Every night of the week, Rabbi Yankel Ishbitzer would give a Shir in Gemara. He was a Goyin Olam, the Beis Yaakov, a Goyin Olam. And every night during the week, he would give a Shir in Gemara, a Pilpul Shir, from 12 midnight till 4 in the morning. But there were only Yechidim who were allowed into the Shir. Only the top Lamdim in town were allowed to participate in that Shir. And this Jew, who survived terrible sorrows, he remembered that the Rebbe would walk in exactly at 12 o'clock. On each side there was a gabbai. One was holding his gemara, and the other was holding a candle. And so they walked through the street to the Beis Medrash. And he said that, unfortunately, he no longer remembers the shiurim. Many years passed, and the winters of Siberia can cause a person to forget anything and everything. But he said, if I'm a Jew, it's because I remember not the material that the Rebbe taught. I don't remember the shiurim. But when it was exactly 4 o'clock and the shiur was finished, I remember that there was a certain look on the Rebbe's face when he would kiss the Gemara. When he closed the Gemara and he kissed the Gemara, he said, that kiss of the Beis Yaakov is something which accompanied me through Siberia and all of the years. And I remember it and I hold on to it. There's a certain kiss of Yiddishkeit. That's becoming more difficult to receive, more difficult to give. Elul, this time that we're in, Elul is the end. It's the end of the year. And you know that whenever we come to a time that's an ending, whenever it's an ending, it's natural when there's an ending, when a relationship ends, when childhood ends, whenever there's an ending, there's a certain sadness, a certain nostalgia. At the end, a person reflects back and thinks, maybe things could have been different. At the end of life, if one has the presence of mind to look back, and how things could have been different. Sometimes a marriage, lo aleinu, cannot survive. And I've spoken to Chevra in that situation. And when the anger subsides, the shock, the disappointment, there are thoughts about what could have been different. And there's a little bit of a tam misa, a little bit of a taste of the end of life, by all endings. But Kadosh Baruch Hu is a Lekim Chayim, is a Lebedik of God. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu is the Makar Chaim, is the source of life. And these Melech Chofetz B'Chaim, he desires life. And it's poshut that Hashem Baruch Hu wants us to come into this time of the year, into the new year, into Rosh Hashanah. That he wants us to come into this time filled with chiyus, alive, desperately, desperately wanting to be part of what's called the Sefer Chaim, which is not just a big book. The Sefer Chaim is Eila told us Adam, a person's life, that book, to be filled with life, to be filled with simcha. That's why Hashem Yisbarach brought things about in such a way. That there's a yontif this month. I don't know if this yontif was ever discussed in this Bis Medrash. But this Shabbos, there's a yontif. It's not a yontif with this Nisim Halacha. It's not a yontif where we're going to find any discussions in the Shagasai or the Kivayga. But it's a yontif that's the kiss of the Beis Yaakov. It's Chai Elul. Shabbos is Chai Elul. Chai Elul, Yud Ches Elul, is the day of the year that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent Yir V'Kadosh and Shmai Kanochis, the light of the 7 days of creation, the Baal Shem Tov's Neshama was sent into the Guf, and the Baal Shem Tov was sent into this world on Chai Elul. That's when he was born on Chai Elul. And the Balatanya, Schus Yir Galani was born, the Neshama of the Balatanya was sent into the world on Chai Elul. And it's the Hilula of the Maralmi Prat, Schus Yir Galani. It's the yard site of the Maral, who is the great-great-great-grandfather of the Balatanya. These Neshamas, Bifrat, the Maralmi Prat, the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, and the Balatanya, these three Neshamas, together, are the side, the secret of the chiyus of Atam Advekim v'Hashem Elokeichem Chayim Kulchem Hayayim. Dveikus v'Hashem, the chiyus of a Jew, what it says in the Farish of Pasuk in Chumash, v'Atam Advekim v'Hashem Elokeichem, those of you who are able to live in the way of Dveikus v'Hashem, Chayim Kulchem Hayayim, you are filled with chiyus. Chai El was when the Rebbeinu Shlomim allowed these neshamas, spaced a little bit apart, of course from the Maral, there was some jump over to the Baal Shem and then to the Baal Tanya, but the world was falling asleep. Our world was falling asleep. There were small clusters of great Talmid HaChachamim, great astonishing Talmid HaChachamim, the Gedolei HaAchraim. But Amcha Beis Yisrael, people like us, we're falling asleep. We're near death. And the Baruch Shalom had Rachmanis. And he sent these neshamas of the Maral, the Baal Shem Tov and the Balatanya into the world. And there began a time of Kirva, of Kirvas Elokim, of a Gilui, a revelation of Anila Daidi V'Daidi Li, of the great love that the Bari Olam has for each and every Jew. And from that time on, there would be a new hope, Tikva Toiva, L'Dor Shecha, for those who are seeking HaKadosh Baruch, that even little Jews like us, at the end of time, the Ekev of the Ekev, the Ikvis of the Ikvis of Mashiach, the very end, that even Jews like us can somehow manage to remain awake at the wait for Mashiach, and to want to learn to this Medrash, it's packed. My father, Zalzel Gesundsein, always says to me that when he was in Europe, when he was a Bacher in Hungary, There was really nothing else to do. If you wanted to be somebody, maybe you could be a dayan, you could be a rav. So they were learning. But he was always amazed that here in America, and especially these last few years, where there are so many things that are pulling each and every one of you away from Kedusha, away from Torah. And you give up everything to be here with a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So we need to understand, what's the avoid of El? Now again, I'm being careful not to enter into diukim, dikdukim, and lamdas. If there's time at the end, maybe a little bit something, but very, very pashit. Usually the way that we were taught, which of course is true, we were taught that the time of Elul, that the ikir of Elul is a cheshbon ha-nefesh. To make a cheshbon ha-nefesh, an accounting of one's soul, of one's life, of this past year, and to be a marda cheshbon, a person who makes a cheshbon means, cheshbon means that a person takes a piece of paper, sometimes you need a whole loose leaf, and you write down the protim and the prote protim of what went right. That usually takes up less space. And the side of the paper where a person's honest, was the tachlis, not to be honest, where a person writes down a true cheshbon of the pratim that were neglected this past year. That means there are se'ifim in Shulchan Aruch, sometimes simonim in Shulchan Aruch. There's a simon in Shulchan Aruch called Malava Malka, you know. And it doesn't mean a fundraiser. It means to sit and to have Malava Malka with mirrors, with a candle, with washing. It's a simon in Shulchan Aruch. So there are simonim in our lives that we've ignored. That's why maybe one of the reasons we have simonim on Rosh Hashanah. There's simonim that we've ignored. There's se'ifim, there's sifkotim in Mishnah Berurah. There are things that we should have done that we didn't do, and there are things that we did that we shouldn't have done. And from the beginning when we were children, those of us who were raised in yeshiva were taught that the meaning of cheshbon ha-nefesh is to simply be brutally honest and go through se'if by se'if, simon by simon, sifkaten by sifkaten, comparing our lives this past year to the life that the Bari Olam wanted us to have, but we didn't have. And certainly this is a very, very great thing, to be a marad chushbana. Chazal speak very highly of such people who are masters of what? Of making cheshbonos of the soul. Bo cheshbon. Cheshbon shel olam. It's a big thing. But in the pnimius of pnimius HaTorah, this is not the ikar avaida of El. The avaida of focusing on the pratim and the prate pratim, all of the details, the do's and the don'ts that I have not been fulfilling or I have been careless with. The Svarim HaKadoshim that come from the world of the Maharal, the Baal Shem Tov and the Baal HaTanya and all the tzaddikim from that world have taught that that's not the ikar of Elul. Not only that, but if a person is going to spend Elul focusing on those pratim, then the chances are likely that that will contribute to creating an atmosphere of despair. Because each one of us knows Maris Navsheinu and how far we are from living up to the expectations of the Shulchan Aruch. So that by the time it comes to HaMelech, by the time it comes to Rosh Hashanah, the person already was misyayish. Even though it could be he made certain decisions to change this or to change that. A few years ago I had a bacher that came to me before Yom Tov, and he said that he was giving a lot of thought to something. He wanted to run it by me. He was thinking about a certain change that he needed to make in life. And I was so excited because this is a bacha that really needed to make some changes in life. And I was so thrilled that he had been making a cheshbon nefesh. And I asked him, what is it you're talking about? What are you thinking of changing? So he said that he wanted to know what I thought about this change. I said, what change? He said he was thinking of starting to wear a gartel. I said, a gartel? You could buy a gartel for $10. As a matter of fact, I'll give you one for free. I have a lot of extra. So he came out from the whole elul with a machshava toiva. Not that there's anything with wearing a gartel, but he came out with a machshava toiva. And from his cheshbon nefesh, he came to the conclusion that what's missing in his life is a gartel. Of course, he wasn't saying what's really missing, or the parts of his life that need to be divided by a gartel. That he didn't talk about. That's not the avodah of elul. The avodah of elul is this. Achas sho'alti me'eis Hashem, oisa vakesh, shifti b'veis Hashem kol yimei chayai, lachzois b'noyim Hashem, ulevake b'echolai. This is the yeshiva. I don't have to translate, I don't have to explain. But we have to go through this together a little bit on a very simple level. Achas sho'alti means that me'ever beyond, above and beyond, all of the birurim that are noigeya to the pratim of my life, good things and bad things, the good list and the bad list, me'ever beyond all of that, beyond the question of what's osin and what's mutter, there's something that's called Achas Sho'alti. And if a person ignores the Achas Sho'alti of Yiddishkeit, the kiss of the Beis Yaakov, then he could be a big baki in the shiur that the Beis Yaakov gave. And he could have notes and MP3 recordings of every shiur from the Ishbitze going through the Masechtas from 12 till 4 over the course of 25 years that he gave the shiur. And still with all of that, and with a big gartel, a fat gartel, he could still be in the category, in the frightening category that the Zohar uses in Parshas Pinchas, where the Zohar says there's such a thing as a Jew that's called Sheid Yehudoi. A Sheid Yehudoi, Yehudoi is a Jew. A Sheid, a ghost, a demon, a zombie. Sheid Yehudoi. One of the reasons that the Toldos Yaakov Yosef got into so much trouble and the Sforim were being burned, there were a number of reasons, but one of the reasons was that his general critique of the Rabbanim of the generation was that they were Sheidim Yehudoim. He called them, not all, but the generation was populated by a large collection of geniuses who knew Shas inside out and who were observant of Halacha inside out. But they were Sheidim Yehudoim, images of Jews. But Jews who knew Shas but didn't have the kiss of the Gemara, never received it and never gave it, looked down on simple people, never tasted the chiyus of Chai El. They lived the lamaisa of being Jews, even great Jews. And certainly, Kadosh Baruch Hu's name, Kapeach Shachal Beri, Hashem rewards a Jew for every mitzvah that he does. And there's a kiyum in Yerushalayim, as Rabbi Yonah tells us, for holding back from an aveira, the mitzvah of Yiras Hashem. But to be a Sheid Yehudoi, listen. The Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh once on Friday night, the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh was sitting with the Chassidim by the Tish, and out of nowhere he began to laugh. And it was out of character, although he was always besimcha, But to laugh in the middle of the tish was odd. And after they benched the Baal Shem Tov, told him why he laughed. And there are different gears of the Meiser. The simplest one is this. The Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh said that far away in Poland, in a little village, there's a beautiful little Jewish couple that were never zeichet to have children. And they were very holy people, and they had a Kabbalah that they would never ever sit down to eat Friday night without a Shabbos Erech, without a guest. They were such people like that. My father, he should be well, has shared with us that that's how it was in the house that he grew up in. And there were times he remembered waiting until 11, 12 o'clock. And that my grandfather, Hashem should avenge his blood, that my grandfather would have to go searching and to find, because sometimes it was bad weather and there weren't enough poor people sitting around in the back of shuls to take home. So this couple, the Baal Shem Tov said, was sitting there, and it was freezing cold, and even the poor people were already someplace. It was 9, 10, 11 o'clock, and they couldn't make Kiddush. They had a Kabbalah. They wouldn't make Kiddush unless there was a poor person, unless there was a guest. So the Baal Shem Tov said, it's already 12 o'clock. 12 o'clock, so whatever Sarala says to her, Moshe, you know, Shabbos. To make Kiddush, we have to, what are we going to do? But Moshe couldn't come to terms with that. They never had Shabbos without a guest. So the Baal Shem Tov said that he ran, Moshe went into the barn, and he pulled, they had a little broken horse, a living horse, but it was barely alive. And they pulled this horse, Moshe pulled the horse into the house, and he brought the horse didn't know what was going on, it looked like a chicken before kaparis, you know. And he brought the horse over to the table, and he ran over, and he took a hat, and he put it on top of the horse, because Kiddush, you know. He put the hat on the horse. You never saw such a thing. And the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh said that Moshe said that we could make, now we could start Shalom Aleichem. We had Baruch Hashem. And the fed, the horse is standing there like that with the hat. This the Shabbos guest. And the Chassidim were laughing also. Then the Baal Shem Tov became very serious. And he said, Eden, we have to daven very, very hard. And we have to work our entire lives. Not to be Shaden Yudoyin. Not to be images of Jews. Because there's such a thing as a horse that could wear tefillin. And there's such a thing as a horse that could also sit in a morning seder and an afternoon seder and say over all kinds of fancy lamedes. The Baal Shem Tov said that he's not very different from a horse. And here's where we come to the Nekuda Pnimis of El, of Achas She'alti. What is it that distinguishes the horse from the person? Obviously, a behemoth, the Maharal says a behemoth is ba, ma, what's his nose? Doesn't have anything in him. And a yid has an achelik elokom yimal manush. Elokus. The tzaddikim said it to Ikka Chiluk, and this is really the first sentence in Mesil Shasharim, and you all learned, Yisayda Chassidus V'shoyu Shavayda Tamima, Shizbar V'yisam Yis Eitzel Oda Machavosa V'ilama. The Ikka Chiluk between a human being and an animal is that an animal also does many things in its life. It has its own Shulchan Aruch. It's different from our Shulchan Aruch. But an animal also has a Shulchan Aruch. And an animal does many things, and its life is filled with protim and prote protim. The difference between a ben adam, the atam kruyim adam, a Jew, and a behema bama, the difference is that an adam lives a life of achas she'alti. Achas she'alti, he lives a life for every single moment. He's asking himself, what is the tachlis of all of these things that I'm doing? When's the last time I stopped in the middle of Taisvus? I'm not getting to the machlokes between the Nefesh HaChaim and the Talmid Baal Shem about how this is done. Because even Rav Chaim Volozhiner in Nefesh Chaim speaks about occasionally pausing and thinking about the Borei Olam. A person can live as a Shei Yudoi, as a horse with a hat, if he doesn't stop and realize and think, La'an ani magia, La'an ani yotzel alachas, Machevosi balami. Why am I doing all of these things? Why do I do all these? What's the tachlis? What's the goal? The Targum translates, V'yasur l'alula, it's a lashon of elul, it says in Sfarim, V'yasur is Eretz Kanaan, to go and to search, to look and to search. The life of a human being is a life that has a derech, that has a mahalach, that has a kivun. All of the pratim by life merge together. And all of those pratim come together in that great, great question of achas sha'alti me'es Hashem oisa avakesh. Because achas sha'alti me'es Hashem oisa avakesh means that there's something more to being Jewish than focusing on whether or not I can improve this prat or stop doing that thing, which we have to do. We have to keep all the Torah. We have to do our best. Everything. And that's more the avoda that says Meshuvah Yom Kippur. But the inyan of Elul is to make a conscious decision. To think about what's the tachlis of my life. And where is my life going? What's the objective? What's the goal of my life? And we understand ba'oimik on a deeper level. That the birthday of the Baal Shem Tov, the birthday of the Baal HaTanya, the Hilula, the yard site of the Meralmi Prague, these tzaddikim and other tzaddikim, but these befrat, the muhus of Chai El, that these tzaddikim are not famous because of this particular idea, although they were great thinkers. Maral, the Svarm of the Maral, the Baal Shem HaKadosh, of course, didn't write anything, but the Torah of Baal Shem, the Baal HaTanya, the Svarm of the Baal HaTanya, which is the Yesod of Chassidus. But it's not that they are remembered for this particular Vart, or this particular minig, or that particular Torah. And anybody who does that is diminishing the light of these tzaddikim. The Maral, the Baal Shem Tov, the Tanya, was a different mahus of a human being. And these tzaddikim came into the world, Hashem Yisbarach sent them into the world, to tell us at the end of time that with everything, with Facebook, with texting and Twittering, with all the surfing and schmutz, with all of the craziness that for whatever reason the Baruch Hu will put out in the Shamas now into the world at this time, at the end of time, that with all of that, a Jew can become an andere mohus, a different mohus of a mensch, an achas sha'alti dika person, a person who lives with a tachlis, a person who doesn't just think about whether my gartel is on, or whether I heard the shofar according to this sheet or that sheet, which I knew at Junior Yerushalayim, that he prided himself, he told me that he went to 8 different shuls, Rosh Hashanah, to hear different tkiyas. Because he was chayshid for this tkiyah and for that tkiyah, and he wanted to hear the Yemenites, and he wanted to hear how they did it in Brisk, and how they did it in Chveisvas, and Klosenberg, and he wanted to hear all the different tkiyas. So I asked him, when did you have time for Hamelech and all of that? You're so busy, Rosh Hashanah, with all the tkiyas. Thousands of tkiyas. The Holy Baditshev and the Kedushas Levi once called together the Jews of Baditshev. It was a regular Tuesday. Nobody knew what was going on. They were afraid maybe there was Chalila, some kind of a tzara, some pogrom that the Rebbe knew about that was coming. And he wanted all the Jews of Badilshev, which was a large town, to come to the big shul. Thousands of people in the shul, out of the shul. And the Badilshev went with his talus over his head, and he walked up to the beam, and he gave a clap, and he screamed out, Yidden, don't forget that Zebari Olam is the creator of the world. Who is he talking to? Every single person in the Beis Medrash was Shomer Torah and Mitzvos in a way that we can't even comprehend. But the Medrash was saying it's possible to be a Sheid Yehudai, to keep Torah and Mitzvos, to learn, and to still forget the Achas Sha'alti. L'ma ani omel kol yimei chayai. What is the tachlis of all my learning? And that's why there's often such an unbelievable disconnect between what a person learns and what a person does. I've mentioned many times over the years in shul, that I read, over the past few years, I read an article in a journal that there was a maish that happened in the yeshiva in Staten Island, where there were two bachurim. One bachur lent a tape recorder. In those days, it was a tape recorder. He lent a tape recorder to his friend. And the friend broke the tape recorder. Something happened. It was an accident. He broke the tape recorder. And the boys were arguing. This one said, I lent you the tape recorder. Why don't you broke it. You have to get me a new tape recorder. Fix it. Get me a new tape recorder. The other one said, it was an accident. It was a mistake. So they went to the Rosh Hashiva. They went to Rav Reuven Feinstein. And they asked Rav Reuven, what's the halacha? And Rav Reuven was shaking his head. That's the parak that they were learning all year. Every single chart on the blackboard. And they didn't know that there's such a thing as a person with a mice of an oinus, and there's a situation of what? Of a shayel. And he went to his father at that time, Rav Moshe, was alive, and he went to Rav Moshe, and he said to his father, I don't understand. All year long, they were learning that if you're a shayel, that you chai b'ansim. They learned it all year long. And Rav Moshe said they don't see any relevance in their lives. They're not making the connection between what they know and who they are. That's what Rav Moshe said back then. The Torah is not a Torah Chai. And here we understand that we're touching upon something that's called in this Svarim, Shuva Ilah. Now, I'm not going into what that means in Pnimis. Those who are interested, there are two levels of tshuva, the basic levels, tshuva tata, the lower level of tshuva, and there's tshuva ilah, the higher level of tshuva. That's discussed at length by the Baal Tanya in the Geres HaTshuva. Tshuva tata and tshuva ilah. It's a very big asik in this form, the difference between these two madregas of tshuva. On our level right now, what we're talking about is when a person has a hisayrus, not just to address that page with a cheshbon nefesh with a pratim, but when a person has a hisayrus to turn his life over, to make a decision to live a life of kedusha, to live a life of pnimius, to be a person that has a she'ifa to get closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not just to finish this mesechta, that mesechta, good, finish the whole Torah Shabbat. But don't be a Sheid Yehudai. Don't be a horse for the Gemara. In the mountains in the summer, there was a Yid that told me that his friend, he has a friend who was never really so much liach in learning. And for years and years, he has she'ifas in learning and in the Avodas Hashem, and he doesn't feel that he's getting there. And this person in the mountains told me that a few years ago he was by Rav Yosef, Zolga Zunzai. And he was crying to Rav Yosef. Some of you have been to Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef's reaction was listening to this fellow. Rav Yosef looked at him and said, no. The person was crying about all the years of she'ifas. And where am I holding? What am I doing? And Rav Yosef said, no. So then this person said, this is what the guy told me in the mountains. The person said, He says, Rebbe, what are they going to write in my Matzeva? You know, sometimes a person gets a little bit old, he starts to think, and he's talking to Rav Eliyashiv. What's he going to say on my Matzeva, my tomb? What's he going to say? Toi Nitman here is buried. Yankala Hashoyev. Yankala, the one who wanted to become great. So at that point, he told me, Rav Eliyashiv got very excited, and Rav Eliyashiv said to him, he said, you know, if I would be in the cemetery in the Beis Chai, and I would be walking, I don't really stop and look at graves, I'm not so big with that. If I would see a grave that said on it, Poi Nitman Yankel Shoyev, I would stop and say Tillim over there. That's why I would daven. By Yankel Shoyev. Because that's the meaning of Shifti Beveis Hashem Kol Yimei Chayai. Let's touch what the words mean. That I should dwell in God's house all the days of my life. Shifti Beveis Hashem. See, here we are. In a magnificent Beis Hashem, everybody should be healthy and well, and this Medrash, the Lobat Medrash, should be able to go to Yerushalayim Tetzel soon. So, Shifti Beveis Hashem Kol Yimei Chayai. All the days of my life. There's a Maaseh that they say from Yismach Moshe. It's said from other tzaddikim, but in most form it says from Yismach Moshe, it says, the Yismach Moshe always wanted, he always had big, big hishtoikikus for Mashiach. And for Olam Haba, he was always in that world. What's it going to be? What's it going to be by Mashiach and Olam Haba? And it says in the form that once, HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed the Yismach Moshe a picture of Olam Haba, of the next world. And what was this vision? He was, in other words, Hashem opened up a crack in this world, and the Yismach Moshe was able to see the next world. And what did he see in the next world? So Yismach Moshe said he saw a couple of old Jews with white beards sitting around an old shaky table on a bench learning Gemara. So Yismach Moshe had a big chalisha sadas, because that's all he ever did in his life in this world. And he was expecting that there's something different over there. So Yismach Moshe said this over to the Olam. And he said the following. He said, I cried out to Hashem to understand. This is the schar. This is the Olam Haschar, all that we've worked for, to continue on an old bench, not even a chair. You have nice chairs over here. My father, Zalga Zunzain, said that the first time he ever saw anybody learning on a chair was the first Shabbos he came to America after the war. And he spent Shabbos on the west side of Manhattan, and there was a little shul, a shtiebel there, and he saw Jews sitting on chairs. He said he never saw anybody learning on a chair. Two things, learning on a chair and talking in English where they were learning. He said it was such a chiddush. There was one other thing he said he remembers that Shabbos, that he saw a dog wearing a sweater. That's something he said he never saw in his life, such thing. These three things he remembers from that Shabbos. He says in Europe we were too poor to have a sweater. In America the dogs were. He says the human beings don't wear anything, and the animals wear sweaters. See, Yismach Moshe said, he had a chalisha das, and he cried to Hashem. What kind of thing is that? That's Olam Haba? Not an old table, or an old bench, and a couple of old friends, and an old Gemara. Probably not even a Masifta Gemara. It's just an old Gemara. So listen when HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered, Hashem Yisbach told Yismach Moshe, you know you're making a very big mistake. This is the lashon that's found in this form. Haim ata choyshev shatzadikim yoishvim b'gan Eden? Do you think that tzadikim are sitting in Gan Eden? Ha'emes hi shegan Eden yoishev b'soich tzadikim. The truth is that Gan Eden, it dwells within the tzadik. Gan Eden is not a place on a map. The world after this world will be that time when it will all be together with that kiss of the Beis Yaakov when he would kiss the Gemara. And that kiss of the Beis Yaakov means, Shifti Beveis Hashem Kol Yimei Chayai. Sitting in the Beis Hashem doesn't mean that you have to be in the Beis Medrash all the days of your life. If you could do that, that's great. Most people can't do that. They can't afford to do that. So what does it mean, Sitting in the Beis Hashem, Kol Yimei Chayai? It means that when I'm a Jew, and wherever I go in my life, and every step that I take in my life, is Shivisi Hashem L'Negdi Samin. Shifti B'Beis Hashem doesn't mean that I live in God's house, it means that God's house is in me. There are other Jews who are not in such a madrigal of tzaddikim. You have a madrigal of B'chatzra, it's Beis Elokeinu. They're not the Beis Hashem, they're Chatzayers. But the Ikir is. The whole tachas of creation is not what you and I thought when we were teenagers. That someone comes and declares and said, and asks, why did God create the world, and what's the tachas of your life? And the answer is, the tachas of my life is to be happy. That's for children. The tachas of life is not to be happy. If you live by the tachas, you'll be happy. The tachas of life is not to have a family. The tachas of life is not to get married. The tachas of life is not to have children. All of that, when it's brought into the world, if Shivi says something like this, when it's brought into the achas sha'alti, one thing, that the Baruch Shalom got into this whole asik of this world, was that a human being, the boss of Adam, should have a negiyah, should have a kesher, should have a shaykhis to the one who is infinite. The Ein Sof Baruch Hu. And therefore, achas sha'alti is a tefillah. Like shoyalim al haksham. We're asking for something. We're asking for help. Achas sha'alti, I want my Yiddishkeit to be a Yiddishkeit of achas sha'alti, a Yiddishkeit with the Borei Olam. Where all of my halachas, all of my mitzvahs, all of my struggles to stay away from our veirus are for one tachlis. Shifti b'veis Hashem, that I should be worthy to have the Shechina dwell within me. To be a Beis Hashem. And therefore when a person davens and asks in such a way, when this is the achas sha'alti of your life, we understand what does it mean to ask for such a thing. L'moshel. If a person asks for health, let's say chalila, somebody's not well, Hashem Yachad. The person's not well. So he asks not for a little bit of refuah, he asks for refuah shleima. When a person is asking for things, so he might ask for a little bit of this, a little bit of that. But there's no such thing that a Jew should ask for a little bit of the Rabbanu Shloilam, for a little bit of Dveikus, for a little bit of Chayel, for a little bit of Atma Dveikim, Hashem Elokechem Chayim Kulchem Hayayim. Achas Sha'alti means that if you're serious about Yiddishkeit, and you live with that first sentence of Mesil Shasharim, Yisoyda Chasidus Shasharish Avoyda Atmima, Shiz Barbi Yisame Yisayitzel Adamachay Vosla Baylamay, then there's only one type of tshuva, and it's called tshuva ilah. It's called hachzireni b'tshuva shleima lefanecha. Tshuva Yisrael ad Hashem Elokecha. There's no such thing as a little Rabbein Shleilam. There's no such thing as a little bit of a shaychus. The problem with our Yiddishkeit, whatever you call it, whether you call it modern, centrist, charedi, chassidic, whatever you call it, the problem with our Yiddishkeit now is that many, many people have long lists of things that they're asking for. And on the list is also the Rabbanu Shalom. There's also Yiddishkeit. David HaMelech says there's achas sha'alti, only one thing. A family, a wife, a family, parnasa, all of that are pieces in the world of achas sha'alti. But if you're missing the achas sha'alti, then you're the Baal Shem Tov, that horse with a hat. Achasi, yoinosi, samosi, it says in Pasuk. The essence of a Jew is achasi. Like the dove, like that creature that Hashem made. The Chazal tells that once the Chas and the Kala see each other, ani la doidi v'doidi li, doidi li v'ani li, they can't look anywhere else. That's the That's what it means, achasi yoinasi samasi. That's what it means, achas sha'alti me'ez Hashem. You know the Gemara, everybody knows the story, there's only a few minutes left. Everybody knows the story about how Reish Lakish became a Gavar Rabbah, right? But Messiah paid out, I don't have to tell it to you, you know the story. So Reish Lakish became a Gavar Rabbah. And Rabbi Yochanan, his brother-in-law, afterwards, Chel Chel Araisa, wow, such strength the way he jumped. Chel Chel Araisa, the strength that you have should be for Torah. And Reish Lakish became Reish Lakish. So you know that the Gemara, some might not go further because that's famous, but the Gemara later on tells us a remarkable thing. The Gemara says afterwards that they were in the Bismedrash, much later, years later, they're in the Bismedrash. But this time Reish Lakish was a Gavar Rabbah, was a God of Yisrael. And they're in the Bismedrash. And Reish Lakish asks Rabbi Yochanan, or he says to Rabbi Yochanan the strangest thing. Umaya honestly. How were you Mahan me? In other words, you were Makar of me. You were Makar of me. Umaya honestly. What benefit do I have from all of this? You hear such a thing? Umaya honestly. And he says, when I was with the list, when I was a Ganav over there, they called me Rebbe, and now they call me Rebbe also. I was a Rebbe of Ganavim, but now a Rebbe, a different Rebbe. My honestly, what did I benefit, what did I gain from all that you did for me? It's the Maral in Chedush HaGadis, over there in Bav Metzia, says that this was what Reish Lakish was asking. He was saying, Rabbi, it's true. You brought me back to do tshuva and to keep mitzvahs. It's true. But mitzvahs lav lehen is nitnu. So the Maral says, Sosof kol sof maya honestly, what did you give me? He says, Torah mitzvahs is an all. It's a burden. All of the seif, all the simonim shulchan aruch, it's hard. Maya honestly, mitzvahs lav lehen is nitnu. So what was Rabbi Yochanan's answer? Rabbi Yochanan said, Omalei, anoi dakra vinach. The hanor that I gave you is dakra vinach tachas kanfei ha-shechina. That I brought you beneath the wings of the shechina. Dakra vinach tachas kanfei ha-shechina. Listen to what the Maral says that means. Aval dover zeh, mashakarvai tachas kanfei ha-shechina, bazehu birya acheres. The way the Maral learns is as follows. Rabbi, Reish Lakish is saying to his brother, Rabbi Yochanan, Maya, honestly, all of the mitzvahs of my life, and all of the Torah that I've learned, all of those details, all of the gartels, all of the brachas, all of the lumbus, all of that, Maya, honestly. So the Maral says, Rabbi Yochanan's answer was, I'm not going to discuss each of the pratim, but you and I know the truth. And the truth is what? Drakavinov tachas kanfei ha-shechina. That means that Reish Lakish knew that he had become a Gavar Rabbah. Just like many of you here are Bez Hashem on the way to becoming Gavar Rabbahs. Big people. Tamid HaChachamim. Shoyim Rei Torah Mitzvahs. Mitzvah to raise beautiful Jewish families. Gavar Rabbah. And Reish Lakish was not mistopic in that. That wasn't the question. But he wanted to have the Hakaras HaToiv to come out from the mouth of Rabbi Yochanan, that the Hano you gave me is Rebbe, you changed my life. Like the Maral says, I'm a Birya Acheres. Like the P.S.F., like the Eish Kodesh wrote in Tzav Azivas on his 40th birthday, that I look at myself and I'm a perfect picture. What am I going to do? Learn more? I don't waste any time. To overcome my Tivus, Baruch Hashem, I don't have any Tivus. You hear? 40 years old. So what can I do? I'm now entering the next part of my life. He didn't know he was going to be killed a short time later. I'm entering the next part of my life. What should I be makabel upon myself? So the Pizesna says the most shocking thing. Roitza ani lehizgaya. I want to convert. I want to be a Jew. And that's what the Rambam says in the Reshuva. Umishan ishmai. The Baal Tshuva, you change the name. Klaimer, Shani Acher, Ve'eni Oysa Ish, Oso Oysa Mamaise. There's one din of tshuva with this tshuva that Torah means the list, the cheshbon nefesh. Do this, don't do that. That's the list. Tshuva on the prati ha-mitzvahs, which is a gewaldige thing, al-cheit, al-cheit, al-cheit. But then there's the tshuva of returning to that place that's called Tachas Kanfei HaShechina. Of Acha Sha'alti Meis Hashem Oysa Avakesh. That's tshuva yilah. That's already a different person. It's a Biri Acheris. It's not a Gever Rabbi in the eyes of the world. It's an Andere Mensch. It's a different person. Koyme, Sha'ani Acher, Ve'ini Oysa Isha Oysa Oysa Mamaisim. I'm a different person altogether. And Rav Kook, Schussi, when he writes, knows that tshuva, there's such a thing where a person, all of a sudden, he can't explain, it's not because of this Aveira, it's not because of that Aveira. All of a sudden, he feels a certain loathing of his life, that I'm missing the point. Did you ever feel that? That feeling that I'm just missing the tachlis, it's not the tachlis. You know, let me end to tell you a first 1 minute ma'isa that I shared with the chevra in the shul years ago, actually 10 years ago. And you'll see why in a minute, it's exactly 10 years ago. And then the next time that I told it was last year when I was zeich to be, zeich, I was with my wife, with a chevra of Yidden in Auschwitz and Birkenau, where my grandparents were killed. And I told this maestro over there, 9/11, not far from here. So that happened at the end of Elul. Right before, a little bit before Rosh Hashanah, I think it was the Chag Chaim Ziyaret site that day, I'm not sure. It was the end of El, towards the end of El. And on Erev Rosh Hashanah, whatever it was a week later, Erev Rosh Hashanah, I get a phone call, like 2:30, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Erev Rosh Hashanah. So during that time, you get a phone call from this friend, that friend, the good Jew, I get a phone call, and there's this Chassidish Yid that I'm friends with. He's a very, very big tzaddik, and Oved Hashem, I can't even describe the kindness of this person, what he does to help Jews of all types. A real, real old-fashioned chassid from a very famous family, a big tzaddik. And he calls me on the phone, so I thought he's called to Mishnah Gutsu, and I hear all kinds of noise and honking and things in the background, and I ask him, Mark, where are you? He says, you know, I'm in a place they call Ground Zero. Ground Zero. Now, you couldn't just get down there back then. I said, what are you doing then? How'd you get there? He says, it wasn't so posh. It took me the whole day. I have all kinds of connections. I got down to Ground Zero. In that empty pit, in that Gehenna. I said, what are you doing over there? It's 3 o'clock. It's Erev Rosh Hashanah. What are you doing in that place? So he said, I couldn't come to myself. I couldn't come to Rosh Hashanah until I did the craziest thing. I was able to somehow pull this off. I came down here. I threw a talus over my head and I screamed out of the top of my lungs, HaMelech. I just had to do that. And now I can come to Rosh Hashanah. Sometimes you feel like you're below ground zero. There's no such thing that a Jew can be any place without HaMelech. There's no such thing. Lach zeis b'noyim Hashem. Ulevake b'echol u'shitu v'es Hashem kol yumechai. HaMelech, 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 HaMelech. Everything's HaMelech. Everything's HaMelech. And because of that, Hashem's boss is going to help. That all of us are going to climb up from this feeling of being ground zero. Like it happened by Tzitzis Mitzrayim, it's Keherf Ayin. We're not going to understand. It's not going to take 49 days. It's taken thousands of years. But then it's going to come in a minute. That he's going to lift us up to a place where we're going to each one of us feel the kiss of the Beis Yaakov. And each and every one of us is going to feel the kiss of David Malka Mashiach, the Gula Hashem V'Amitis, the Mehebi Amen V'Amen V'Amen.